This is the Be One Change One podcast, where our mission is to help listeners define values, practice integrity, and inspire change.
Our vision is to mentor men and empower them to achieve more by taking responsibility for shaping their own lives.
He's Cass, an evolving man who has been shaped by adversity and continues to grow through his imperfections.
And he's Roscoe, an imperfect work in progress that tries to suck less every day.
Between us, we have over 40 years of Air Force fighter pilot experience with countless hours as trainers, instructors, and mentors.
Join us and learn to take responsibility for your own life as we dive into subjects from leadership to resilience to vulnerability.
Be the one who changes their course. Be decisive, driven, and purposeful. Set the example for others. Lead. We wish we'd had this show when we were younger men.
Be the one.
This remote ops thing, man, is we're going to get better at it, but I think we're just at the mercy of the hotel Wi-Fi at some point.
Yeah. So Roscoe, where does this podcast find you tonight?
I'm in Wichita Falls, Texas. And you?
I am in Boise, Idaho.
Wow. Okay, man, you're a well-traveled dude. Yeah. So, hey, what's the temp in the skies up there right now?
Dude, it's cold. It was like 45 degrees when we landed, but the wind's blowing, so it feels like it's 35 degrees outside. It's pretty cold. Yeah.
It was 53 when we pulled into the hotel here, and the wind's been blowing hard all day. So,
yeah,
my dumbass, I came from Arizona to Texas, and all I brought was shorts. So, yeah, you're looking at this is my lone long sleeve attire that I have. So,
yeah, I've learned to check the weather everywhere I'm going before I start a trip, so I can pack appropriately.
You're a smarter guy. See, everybody knows that you're a smarter dude than me.
No, that's
for me,
true.
It's just no new lessons for the rest of my life, I guess. So, dude, we had an episode drop today, and I was listening to it on the way up here. It was a couple hours drive, and I listened to it, and it was a good episode. I was intrigued by some of the things that you and I came up with for the topic. I'll let the listeners go back into the files and find it. But we were 12 minutes into the episode, and we both said, hey, we haven't even said what this is going to be about.
Yeah, so, we're bad about that.
And we both said that we suck at it. So in an effort to not suck, or at least suck less, I'm going to say that today's episode is going to be about work ethic and the idea of wasting, or I should say spending money on a 4 or 6 year college degree may not be necessarily worth it, or the best course of action for some people.
Yeah.
So the title of this episode is "The World Needs Ditch Diggers Too." Where did I get this from? So one of my favorite movies of all time is Caddyshack. It's a Lampoon style comedy from the 70s, early 80s, written and performed by some of the best comedic minds of that generation. I mean, it's a hilarious movie, man. Rodney Dangerfield has just a bang up performance in that movie. So the theme of the movie is centered around the protagonist, Danny, is trying to get a college scholarship so that he can break out of his lower middle class mold that his family has put him in for all these years. He's, 18, 19 years old, whatever. And he's a caddy at the local golf course there with all the rich big wigs, doctors, lawyers, etc. And he's trying to schmooze the head of the golf course, a guy by the name of Judge Schmales, who holds the keys to giving out this college scholarship. And he's out there caddying for the judge one day, and he's trying to talk himself up and boast himself up to, try to win some brownie points, maybe kiss a little ass along the way. And the judge looks right at him and goes, "Well, Danny, the world needs ditch diggers too." All right, now I can see where on the surface that may be a little crude, and some people may take offense to that, but trust us when we say we don't mean this in a negative way. We're not trying to say that people are stupid. No, you can get his jobs out on the side of the highway holding the little slow stop sign out there. That's not what we're saying. The angle that we're going to take with it, I believe, is that there are jobs and career fields out there that do not require 4 year college degrees, that you can make a perfectly good, sustainable living, sustain your family, have a lot of fun, learn some really good skills, and do really well in life and find success however you define that.
Yeah. Well, and I think what's important to understand is that, we all have different skill sets that we're good at, and we all have different interests, and not all of them require, like you were saying, a 4 year degree or a 6 year degree or a PhD or anything like that. That's not to say that if that's your desire, that that's not what you should pursue. But there's a lot of trades out there that people can go into right out of high school. And, you know, after a relatively short period of time in training, you know, some of them are a couple months long, some of them are a year long, and then an apprenticeship, you'll be making more money, you know, as a 20-year-old day one of the job that you start than some of your peers will when they finish their degree 2 years later and enter the workforce with a bachelor's degree. And so I think for me, what I want to do is I want to fight this societal message and notion that the only way that you have value is if you go to college, or the only way that you have value is if you're, you know, a businessman or a lawyer or a CEO, you know, or a fighter pilot for that matter, right? Like you don't have to be part of some high performing team necessarily. You're going to be part of a team wherever you're at, and you can perform well in that role, right? But you don't have to be like, I think there's this push, like everybody should be a millionaire by the time they're 22, and everybody should be influencers overnight, you know? And, you know, and then you got the stuff from the manosphere that's like, you know, hey, you should be rich in 3 months. And if your scheme doesn't get you rich in 3 months, then you're doing it wrong. And it's all a bunch of bullshit, man. Right. Like there's a lot of, this world doesn't work without electricians, without plumbers, without framers, you know, without folks that do sanitation, you know, and work at water sewage treatment plants. And I mean, this country would grind to a halt without the blue collar jobs that people do. Right. So, you know, my dad was a mechanic his entire life. My dad turned a wrench for his entire life, and he made a very good living for our family, and supported us very well when I was growing up. So I want guys to know that there's nothing wrong with being in a trade, right? And I think that for some reason over the last decade or so, like that's just gotten a little bit of a bad rap.
Yeah, I think when I was getting ready to get out of high school, even back in the mid-90s, I think that there was just this assumption that people expected us to go to college. Yeah. And you know, there's a couple of things to take away or at least to shed light on from what you were saying earlier was, you know, one of them is the 4-year college degree. I don't think that 4-year college degree carries the same weight as it did back when you and I were going to school, maybe. I think unless you have a postgraduate degree, you're probably, I don't know, you're not quite there the way it was when we went to school got out of high school.
I think it depends on the nature of the degree to a certain extent. But the thing is, though, but I will tell you now, especially having kids in college now, too, like you can see that universities have created pathways that almost force students into going into a master's program. Because if you go into something like, let's say, biology, and you get a 4-year degree in biology, well, great. You know, you may be able to go get a job at a pharmaceutical company or something like that with a baseline biology degree, but really, unless you specialize in something past that 4-year degree with a master's that focuses on a particular aspect of whatever that initial degree was in, like your outlook's not nearly as good, right? And so I think because college has become such a
business.
Yeah, well, it's become a business, and there's so much pressure for kids to go now too, that I think that in some ways they've taken a little bit of advantage of that. And you know, there's a lot of degree, there's a lot of degree programs that you can come into, and that's why you see and you hear all these stories about kids that go to school for 4 years and they come out and they're making $25,000 a year at an entry level position. They're like, "What the heck, man? I just spent $150,000 on college, and this is the best I can do." So.
Yeah. Well, there's layers to that too, though. So just backing up the truck just a minute. If you were to, well, let's say you go to school, you get convinced that you're supposed to go to school for 4 years, and the average cost of college for a year is somewhere around $35,000. So you take out some student loans, maybe mommy and daddy couldn't pay for it, or you just weren't quite the cut that earned a scholarship. So you come out of there after 4 years with $140,000 in debt. And I was told once to never do math in public, but I think that's pretty darn close. You're $140,000 in debt. Now take that to the other side and say that, you know, when you graduated high school, maybe you didn't want to go to college, or you didn't know exactly what you wanted to do with your life just yet. And you decided to enter an apprenticeship similar to what I did. I joined the military, but I was still in an apprenticeship, and I was earning a steady paycheck and learning a trade at the same time as an aircraft mechanic. that guy who does that is earning a paycheck instead of going in debt. He's earning money and he's getting benefits and he's paying into a 401k and potentially earning a pension and he's getting work experience in his career field. Yeah. And all of those things add up to, it's definitely more in the green column than the red column. Oh, by the way, this guy who goes to college goes $140,000 in debt, gets out of school, and then realizes that the degree that he just went to school for 4 years, he was training for a job that either doesn't exist or doesn't pay enough to pay back his student loans. So he's going to go take another job.
Yeah.
You know, now, I mean, I guess you could go down the road like you and I, me personally, I won't speak for you. I'll let you do that. But I don't use my college degree. My college degree was a door opener that got me into a career field that I wanted to get into. But I don't use my college degree like maybe an electrical engineer would every single day.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And you're a poli sci major, and I doubt that you're earning money as a political scientist on the side.
No, I am not. So
So
yeah. So I saw an interesting statistic that I wanted to share, and that was by 2027 in the United States, we could be 500,000 plumbers short of what the market will require. And that said, only 17% of high school and college students are interested in pursuing careers in construction trades.
Yeah.
And the disparity between the demand and interest presents a huge opportunity for people that are willing to learn a trade and enter these fields. And it's going to be lucrative for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I can give an example of one of my kid I know who, out of high school, wasn't sure what he wanted to do, kind of bounced around for some, you know, just jobs here and there for the first year or so after high school, decided to go to a welding program. I think the welding program that he went to was like 6 months long. Then he did a 6 month apprenticeship and he's making like, I think around $80,000 a year now as a welder because the demand is just so high for those guys.
Yeah. I heard a similar statistic about electricians, and you know, we can kind of follow the bouncing ball just a little bit with the boom that we're seeing in construction and real estate development and all these new houses going up and all that. Well, who's building all that stuff? Who's laying the concrete for that? Who's putting in the pipes and the cable networks and all the fiber optics and all that shit? I mean, it's dudes out there who are getting their hands dirty every day and cleaning their fingernails out in the shower at night, you know? And you know, you were making an interesting comment, or you were talking earlier about being a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. Well, you go to a doctor's office to see your PCM. There's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes of people who didn't go to school for 8 or 10 years. I mean, the receptionist at the desk who gets you checked in and does your charting and does all your appointment making, the janitor who comes through and cleans up all the rooms. I mean, these are jobs that doctor would not have an office and not be able to do his job that makes him however much money he makes if it weren't for these blue collar jobs.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I know there's another example of a lady that I know who she was interested in the medical field, but didn't really have the money to go to college. Right. So she went and did a medical assistance degree, which is kind of like a vocational degree, spent several years working for doctors as a medical assistant. And then decided that she wanted to become a nurse. And so through the folks that she had worked with, some of the doctors that she had worked with and stuff, they kind of helped her still work, but be able to go to school. She ended up getting her nursing degree and now she's like a trauma nurse on helicopters, right? So when there's the big crash on the freeway or whatever, they helicopter in and pick everybody up. She's one of the people that does that thing. Loves her job, makes a great living. So it can, there's steps that can be involved with all of that too, right? So you never know where, you know, starting down one path may lead you or bring you to, you know, evolve in your professional life in a certain way.
Well, I'm sitting in a hotel room with two people who did exactly what you were just talking about. And I'm not talking about having a gangbang in a hotel room. I'm talking about me and my wife. She's sitting over here behind my shoulder, listening, eavesdropping. But I joined the military, entered the apprenticeship, and after 5 years, I used the money and the benefits that I had from that to go to college and then get me the job that I wanted. She did the exact same thing. She joined the Air National Guard. She did that for 6 years while we were married, getting married, starting to raise our family and everything. But that guard job that she got enabled her to pay for her nursing school, and she got an RN degree at the end of that. So, people, like, you can use these as stepping stones. This is not... If you don't want this to be final, this doesn't have to be final. And one thing that we've talked about over and over in this podcast is constantly reevaluating your goals and moving that goalpost just a little bit.
Yeah.
If you join this apprenticeship and you're making $40,000-$50,000 a year, especially as a 18 to 20 year old, young, single, probably kind of person, that's pretty decent money, man.
That
and you can be rat holing a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And maybe down the road through doing that apprenticeship, you either make some connections or you find something that you really enjoy. Maybe it's process of elimination, like we've talked about, where, you know, I knew without a doubt that I did not want to be a cotton farmer. And so I did everything that I could to get away from that. I still took the blue collar method, and Katie over here, she can tell you stories of me coming home and we invested in Gojo on the back of our sink downstairs. And I used to have to wash my coveralls in Coca-Cola because the acid in Coca-Cola would get the grease and hydraulic fluid out of my coveralls better than anything else. I mean, we worked hard when we were younger, but we used that as a platform to get into other stuff. And that's kind of a key takeaway from this show is this isn't final if you don't want it to be.
No, nothing has to be final. We talk about that all the time, right? You can always look for other opportunities. Yeah, you need to always maintain some flexibility to pivot, right? Don't get channelized attention. Don't focus on there's only one path. There's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than one way to get to whatever that final objective is. And so sometimes you got to be a little more fluid as you move through that stuff. I think the military is a great example of that too, man, because what is it? 75-80% of the military force is enlisted.
Yeah.
None of those guys have, none of them, but the majority of those guys did not have college degrees when they decided to join the Air Force the Army or the Navy or the Marine Corps. You know, they at 18 decided they wanted to serve and they went into the military, you know, and how many senior enlisted members do you know that have master's degrees?
Yeah.
There's a ton of them, man, because they have all this opportunity as they go through the military to expand their education if they decide to, you know, you did, right? You get out, you take your GI Bill, and now you have the opportunity to go to school if that's a pivot point for you. So let me give you a couple of statistics, though, because I thought these were interesting. So I was talking about the plumbing thing, right? And I read one article that said the demand for skilled trade labor is going to be so intense in the next 10 years that the job market for like electricians is projected to grow 40% faster than the overall job market in the United States.
I just saw that on a placard on the Google Images. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a huge opportunity right there. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, trade school graduates earn an average annual income of around $50,000 to $80,000 a year, depending on the field and location that they work. Employment in trade occupations is projected to grow from 5% from 2019 to 2029. So 5% every year, faster than the average for all occupations. Trade occupations that typically require a post-secondary non-degree award had a median annual wage of about $40,000 a year, while the median wage for somebody with just a high school diploma or equivalent had a median wage of around $30,000 a year. So just some statistics there for you. I have another great example, a really good friend of mine from high school. His dad worked in construction his whole life. When we got out of high school, he ended up going to work for his dad, framing houses, doing, you know, learning the trade, if you will, as he did that. Last time I talked to him, he lives in Montana and he's like the project manager now on some $5 billion hospital that they're building or school, I think it was, that they're building out there. Right. So, you know, he went into a trade, applied himself over the years, his knowledge expanded, his experience expanded, his opportunities expanded, you know, and now he's a project manager working huge projects.
I'm curious, how long did that take him?
Well, he's our age. So, I mean, I think he's been doing the project management thing now for probably 10 years or so.
Okay.
But you know, so it probably took, you know, I'm sure he moved up in aggregate as it went, you know, but he's been doing that for a while now.
So here's where I was going with that is, guys listening to the show, if you fall into these categories where you may potentially not be, I don't want to say college material because that makes it sound negative, but maybe college just isn't on your horizon right now. Okay. But if you're one of these peeps that you fit into that category, realize that when you do take one of these apprenticeships, or if you take one of these jobs, like an electrician or a plumber, whether or not you're in an apprenticeship, this isn't a get rich quick scheme. I mean, you just gave an example of a guy who's been doing it for 25, 30 years, you know, before now he's kind of the head honcho. And I know several guys who work in construction. A really good friend of mine out of high school, one of my best bros in high school, the day we graduated, his uncle got him a job on a construction crew. And man, he was busting big rocks into little rocks for a long time. But he eventually moved up and, you know, operated some equipment and got some other qualifications. And now he's been a foreman for years and he does really well for himself. But yeah. I mean, that takes like, it takes time, guys. And let's just go down. Let's get granular, be one, change one for just a second. This comes down to work ethic, stick-to-itiveness, like showing up, being prepared, doing your job, doing it well, staying late, taking shitty jobs when you have to. All these kind of things add up. And it's not going to be one of these, you know, you're not going to be driving a Lamborghini here in 2 or 3 years or 2 or 3 months in the example that you gave last show. But, you know, you can sustain a really good life and work hard and be proud of the work that you did. I mean, how cool would it be to drive down the interstate and look at a neighborhood and go, dude, I freaking built that, man.
Yeah.
I did that.
I was a part of the puzzle that solved that and built all that. Yeah.
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 I had a statistic too. And since we're throwing out numbers, I was listening to this, this Mike Rowe podcast, a while back, and Mike Rowe, I mean, he kind of got famous with the dirty jobs. He's actually got a really good nonprofit. Gosh, the name of it is escaping me right now. I need to go look that up. But anyways, he focuses on these work trades like welding and pipe fitting and plumbing and stuff like that. And he offers scholarships to apprenticeships through his nonprofit that he does. He's raised a ton of money and gives it out to people and gets them going on this. But on this podcast, he said $1.7 trillion of student loans is on the books. And this was current as of April 2023, so not that long ago. 11.5 million open positions, many of which don't require a four-year degree. So it doesn't take like this mental Olympian to figure out that we're lending money we don't have to people who want to get degrees that they won't use or they can't pay back their student loans and likely are training for jobs that don't even exist anymore.
Yeah.
So go back to your example, back when we went to school 30 years ago, you could get a degree in general studies and probably be okay.
Yeah.
But now it has to be so niched down that you just about have to get a freaking master's degree.
Yeah,
worth anything.
I mean, and you make a good point, because one thing that we haven't even mentioned is like how AI is going to change so many things in the workforce, you know, in the next 10 years and the jobs that that's going to impact. And, you know, I don't know which jobs those are going to be, but I can guess that, you know, accounting, some things like that, you know, are probably going to be replaced by some, you know, large language model that can figure all that stuff out, right?
Yeah.
That has all the data from all the history and can compare and contrast and kick out a bunch of results. Or, I mean, I don't know, but like that landscape is going to drastically change.
Yeah.
What AI will never be able to do is fit a pipe, you know, or wire a house or,
robots frame can a do house. A good bit, but or, there still has to be a man in the loop somewhere, right?
Yeah. So,
yeah,
you know, these trades are really critically important. You know, and it's funny too, because even if you're interested in like culinary school or things like that's from what I've heard, like a really difficult lifestyle, you know, if you want to be a chef and things like that, but we live in a society now where these people are celebrities. I mean, think of all the shows on TV that are situated around, you know, cooking and baking and all of these different things. Right. And so, I mean, it's changed so much. And I think that, you know, if there's something that you're interested in or something that you're passionate about, you shouldn't pigeonhole yourself into thinking that you needed a 4-year degree first before you go. One of my son, Daniel, has a friend right now who's going to school and he's in an engineering program, and all the kid wants to do is cook. All he wants to do is go to culinary school. But this is important, man, because he's got a ton of pressure from his family to go get a degree, you know? And so he's going to go get a degree, and his plan is to get a degree, find a job doing engineering somewhere related to his degree so that he can then save up enough money to go to culinary school and start cooking at some point. Right.
Yeah, and how old is he going to be by the time all that shit happens?
But that's and so let's talk about that for a second. So maybe now you're 22, you get a job, you're doing an engineering job, the money's decent, you know, you're making a decent living, and you're scraping, you know, money together as you can. Maybe you're still interested in cooking, but then, you know, maybe a girl comes along and you get married and you have derailed. A kid and. Yeah. You know, next thing you know, you're 35 years old with a family in this engineering, you know, work
that you
have
no
desire for. Yeah. And you're miserable, right? Because you're doing what you have to do to provide for your family. And you miss that window of opportunity that you have when you're younger and you don't have the attachments or the responsibilities or the things that may be kind of tying you down or holding you back to go explore those things that you're that you think you're really interested in. Like that's the other piece of this. If we want to go be one, change one, right? We've talked about this, man. If you're curious about something and you're a young man, now's the time.
Yeah.
If you think you might be interested in something, now's the time to go figure out if that's for you, right? This is the opportunity to explore it, because the opportunity for you to do those things as you get older in life become much more difficult.
Well, here's my big fear for that young man is, he clearly, his passion is not engineering. He's just doing that to check a container.
Yep.
Right. So
he's doing it to appease his family.
Exactly. So, well, that's a fallacy right there. If you're doing shit for someone else and you're doing it for the wrong damn reasons.
Yep.
Right. But how much effort is he putting into that job? His engineering job. When he goes to work every day, is he the kind of guy that's going to show up early and stay late and work harder on projects? No, he's probably just going through the motions. So 10 years passed after he gets married, has two kids, and he's trying to pay off his mortgage and shit. What's his upward mobility been like?
Yeah,
probably zero, because he didn't do the fucking work. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, this is a big snowball, right? And
it can be.
I want to throw out Katie's brother as an example. He dropped out of high school. A few years later, he goes back and gets a GED and joins the Air National Guard, got into a job with communications and networking and stuff like that. And he just started kind of accumulating these computer certifications that Nikki just did one, man. It was a 16-week course. He paid a few $1,000s for it, a couple $1,000s for it. It's all online. They met once a week online, did a couple of homework projects, and he got a certification at the end. You could go right now and study on YouTube. If you study hard enough, sign up for the Security Plus test and become a systems administrator on an IT network. I mean, these things don't require college degrees, and that's exactly what Katie's brother did. He just accumulated a whole bunch of these things, and now he's making six figures and doing well.
Yeah.
He tried college once or twice. It just wasn't for him, you know, whether it was the lifestyle or the battle rhythm, or it didn't mesh with his family. Maybe he just wasn't into it, whatever it was. But there are plenty of ways that you can do well. Again, you define success and you define happiness.
Yeah.
But if providing for your family and having some of these things in life that we all kind of, I don't know, aspire to, if some of that is on your list, there's a lot of ways to get there that don't involve getting a four-year college degree.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many opportunities out there too. And that's why I think if I had an overarching message as it relates to this is, you know, if college isn't for you and it's not for everybody, my oldest son didn't want to go to college and he didn't, you know, there's so many other paths that you can take. And what I would just encourage you to do if you're a young man listening to this podcast is if there's something that you think you're interested in, go try it. Yeah. Like take the time now to go enroll in that trade school and see if being a mechanic is really what you want to do, or being an electrician or whatever it is, or welding or culinary school, whatever the case may be, right? Go see if that's a fit. And then if it is, great, man, move out. Do all the work, do all the things that we talk about on the podcast. Yeah. You're going to have a great life and a great career. You're going to enjoy yourself, right? If it's not, then don't be afraid to pivot and explore other opportunities, because now's the time to do that. And the only other thing I would say is if there's older guys that are listening to, if we have fathers that are listening to this podcast, quit pressuring your fucking kids down a path that they're not ready for.
Yeah.
Because you're just going to be disappointed and upset that you're spending all kinds of money and they're making C's and D's because they're not interested in it. Give them that break, man, right? Like give them the opportunity to explore some of those options. Support them in a manner that allows them to kind of figure out that thing for themselves. And that's hard to do. That's really hard to do sometimes as a parent, you know, especially if you got a hard-headed kid you know, who thinks that they know everything, and you can see the impending train crash coming.
I'm silent on that one.
What's that? Yeah. Well, I can tell a few stories. Right. But sometimes, and that's one of the things that I learned with my children, with my oldest in particular, is sometimes you have to provide your children the opportunity to fail, because they're not going to learn the lesson until you do. Right. And I think as parents, we're so concerned, we want the best for our kids. We don't want to have to see them struggle. We don't want to have to see them go through the shit that we went through. But sometimes they have to go through it. Or they just have to go through.
Life is the best teacher, though.
It is, right? And we've talked about this a million times too, man, right? We are great. One of our greatest teachers is failure. You're going to get your best lessons out of that. You're going to learn more about who you are and what you're about and what you're capable of and what you really can do and what you can and can't tolerate when you have to go through some of those things. And so I would just encourage any parents out there that are listening to this to, you know, sit down and have that honest conversation with your kids and find out what are they interested in, you know, and then come up with ways to find avenues for them to explore that and support them in that. And don't push them down a road that they're either not wanting to do or maybe not even prepared or willing to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, dude, I remember you and I sitting in the office in the fighter squadron having these discussions as it was happening real time with David and my oldest son, Tyler, you know, cause they're on similar timelines. And you know what, man, it really just comes down to, I've made all the mistakes parenting.
By the way, I love you a lot, David.
Same, Tyler. But it's really hard when you have to swallow that pill and realize that those kids have to write their own narratives and they can't live your dreams. These, you know, like I have this vision of Katie and I used to sit around and daydream about what we thought our kids would do when they got older and where they'd go to school and where they'd work and live and how many kids they'd have and all that. And dude, I mean, looking back on it now, it was fun to daydream, but gosh, were we wrong? Holy shit. We missed on all three of them. Like not even close. And you know, to follow up on that a little bit, I'll give you here's a like something proactive or tangible that you can take away with. I told you that Nikki did this computer course. He did it back in the spring. Well, it started about this time last year. He was out at my house on a Sunday afternoon watching football. And I've been kind of asking him, you know, he's 20 years old. I kept asking him like, well, what do you want to do? You know, you're going to work construction forever. If you are, great. Then you need to start moving up a little bit. You've been here 2 years. Start working some equipment, go to a different team, learn a different skill or something like that. His problem is right now, he likes the people that he works with. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the work. It's the people that he gets to hang out with every day. He likes his team, you know, and there's value in that. There absolutely is value in that. But if this is something that you aspire to as a career, you've eventually got to branch out. You've got to get experience in other areas so that one day you can be the supervisor and then maybe the foreman and the superintendent, et cetera. Well, Nikki's sitting on the couch there, and I kept asking him, and I'm trying real hard not to be mean and get on to him, but he started talking about, well, I've been thinking about doing this this online course. Oh, by the way, it's a course where I just happened to come across it one day on the internet, thought it was interesting, sent him a text message about it, and he says, yeah, I've been thinking about it. I was like, okay, you know, and I kind of start poking and asking some leading questions, and finally got him to the point. He's like, well, yeah, I could probably do it. I said, give me your phone right now. So he gave me his phone and I signed him up. I went and I signed, made him a login and said, send me more information. It wasn't 30 seconds. He had an email back from the school with all kinds of information, the schedule, the pay list, the different types of programs that they offer and all that. A few weeks later, he started and then he finished in 4 months. Like, this is not hard, guys. If you're the guy that's going through it, seriously, it just starts with a button click on the internet. And that can lead you down the road. If you're a parent of one of these people, you can be proactive and sign them up. And they still have the opportunity to say yes or no to it, but you can lead them because at least in my kids, what I see is what you were talking about earlier. You know, these younger kids, they shit in one hand and want in the other one, which is going to fill up faster. I want, I want, I want. Eventually you have to do.
Yeah.
And that's where I see. It's a big failure point. It's like a single point of failure here where the kids just don't do the thing. That it's much easier to sit here and be comfortable in life. Take my example or take my little analogy again, write the word comfort, draw a circle around it on a piece of paper. And outside of that circle is where everything you want in life lives. You have to do something uncomfortable. You have to do something not normal. You have to get out of this rut that you're in and start moving the ball just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's so many different opportunities too. I have to imagine, you know, like there's that show Lego Masters on TV.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah. It's just grown people building Legos, right? Like in competitions and stuff. But there's like people that are actually like Lego Masters that work for Lego that like create all the different things that they do. I can't imagine that took a 4-year degree, you know?
So wait a minute. I'm a grown ass man and I can have a job right? building Legos.
That's what I'm saying, right?
So what the fuck am I doing, man?
There's so many options out there like that you could pursue if there's things that you're interested, even if they seem, you know, kind of my point in bringing that story up is even if they seem like they're just odd or one off, man, do some research, figure it out, yeah. You know? And again, I'd go back to if you're a young man and you're not sure, find somebody that's in that field and talk to them. You know, yeah. Your mom and dad may probably know somebody that works in that field or has worked in that field 100%. In the past, yeah. You know, or, you know, you may have a friend whose parents know somebody or whose parents work in that field. Reach out, talk to folks, yeah. get a little more information, right? Do some information gathering, gather that knowledge. And then again, don't be afraid. Like you got to get out of your comfort zone at some point. You got to move out in a direction at some point. So go explore that. Be curious about it, you know, and go see if it's a fit.
I've done that for all of my kids. You know, find whatever it is. Maybe it's just the flavor of the day that they say they might be interested in. Make some phone calls, figure out, you know, Caleb said he wanted to go to the Air Force Academy. I found some people that went to the Air Force Academy. Nikki says he wanted to do computer stuff. I put him in touch with some computer guys. You know, Tyler's had his moments where I put him in touch with people or at least gathered some information from them. So utilize as a parent, you know, we can utilize our network and our knowledge and skills and different things to maybe leverage that and get them into the, at least get them the information that they desire. Now that said, young kids, 20, 25 ish boys, girls, doesn't matter. When you do get into something like when you joined the Lego Masters, I think you have to be a little cautiously optimistic, right?
Yeah,
like
sure.
You were talking about, the cooks, like, oh, all these cooks are celebrities. I doubt people are tuning in to see what the Applebee's cook over here is doing.
Yeah, that's right? True.
So that's, you know, those are the one-offs. And if you're framing your life by some of these things that you're seeing on YouTube or social media, you have to be a little bit realistic and realize that they're the 1%, man, or the top 1%. No. How many Navy SEALs have there been in the course of history? And then there's one Jocko.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So be a little bit realistic about it. No, you're not just going to get on the Lego Master show tomorrow because you made a phone call.
Sure. And you have to be realistic about it. And you have to recognize too that, you know, there's going to be portions of whatever career field you decide to go into. There's going to be times where it's not fun, you know,
yeah.
Maybe no, the trade school is not fun. Right. But you have, there's work that you have to do to get to whatever that final objective is that you've set for yourself. You know what I mean? So, you know, going back to me getting into the Air Force and becoming a pilot, there was a bunch of jobs that I did to get myself to the point where I could apply for the Air Force that I did not fucking enjoy at all.
Yeah.
You know, but I had to do it because those were the steps that had to be taken in order for me to continue to go to school. And because we need, unfortunately, to be officers, we need degrees and to be a pilot, you have to be an officer. And so, right. So, you know, so just realize, right. Like it's not always going to be unicorns and butterflies. You know, there's going to be times where it sucks and you've got to nug through some stuff or, you know, you've got to work through something to get at the next qualification level so that you can do more or move into another opportunity. Just do the work, man.
Yeah. But dude, that shit doesn't stop though. Even your buddy, you were talking about being the project officer on whatever it is he's working. If he's a project manager on a large construction crew, he had to pay his dues and learn how to do that. Like project management is not easy. I went and got the project management certification. I know it sucks. Yeah. It's very tedious and it's a long drawn out process. And if you don't know it, it takes a long time to learn it.
Yeah.
When we did finally finish our college degrees, did it in there? Fuck no. We went to undergraduate flight training and we had to learn a whole new thing. Like how similar is poli-sci and flying Vipers? Not at all.
I was told there would be no math.
See?
Yeah.
And so my point is, dude, is like you conquer one hurdle, or you get over this one thing, or you get this one certification. It doesn't end there. And that's why I say you need to constantly be reevaluating your goals and potentially moving that goalpost a little bit. Set audacious goals, man.
Yeah.
And you may or may not make it. That's fine. Pivot and keep moving.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other, if I had one other kind of overarching thing that I'd want to say to folks that are interested in this is, again, it goes back to all the stuff that we've talked about like being in the arena, right? So one, get in the fucking arena, move out, go try something, right?
Do the work.
And two, don't listen to the fucking peanut gallery, man. Don't listen to the people in the stands who are telling you that you're wasting your time or you're wasting your life to go be an electrician or a plumber or something like that, because they want something else for you, but they don't understand what you're about or what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about that stuff. Just go do the work. Just go do it.
Yeah.
And figure it out for yourself, because like you were saying, if you're doing it for other people, man, you're not going to be happy with whatever the end result is out of that, right? And so don't listen. Get in the arena. Get bloody. Get marred up. Maybe you win. Maybe you don't. At least you're trying. At least you're daring greatly, you know? And don't worry about the naysayers or the messages that we get from society about, you know, the difference between blue collar and white collar or whatever, what is a professional and what's not. None of that bullshit matters, man.
Yeah.
Like, just fuck it. Fuck all those people. Well, fuck all that messaging. Just go do your thing and be really fucking good. And when you do, be really fucking good at it.
Well, you may not be really good at it in the beginning, but you can try really fucking hard. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I sucked.
You have to put forth the effort, man. And like, gosh, dude,
I remember going up on one of my very first BFM sorties with a weapons officer when I was a brand new wingman, and I won't describe what happened because it won't make it sense to anybody but you and me. Long story short, we get back, we're in the debrief. He goes, well, you're not very good at it. He's like
that.
Yeah. He's like, we get back. He goes, well, you're not very good at this, are you? And I'm like, thanks,
not today,
man.
But
well, no, I haven't done BFM. You know, I had four BFM rides and, you know, in offense at the B course, and I haven't flown BFM since. So no, I'm not very good at this. Can you teach me?
But you know, that's framing the discussion though. Hey, you know, the best debriefs are like, well, that sucked.
Yeah. And but my point is that you're not going to be very good at the beginning, but that's, guess what? Yeah. That's just part of the process. That's how we learn.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you know, my recent examples are in the last couple of years, dude. I mean, B1 Change One podcast, people have listened to me talk now for 20 episodes or so, and you know that I am not a master of the English language by any means.
Yeah.
What the hell do I have any business writing a book, right? So I sit down and I start jotting some stuff down. I like telling stories, and I figured it can't be that hard, right? Dude, when I got that book back from the editor, I'm not exaggerating when I say that there was more red than there was black.
Yeah.
Like, nothing will humble you more than getting your writing back from an editor. It was terrible, dude. And so I say that I wrote a book, but really my editor wrote the book.
Sure.
But you know what? I tried.
Yeah.
I mean, I put my best foot forward, and I edited it 4 or 5 times. Katie edited it 4 or 5 times, and the editor still tore it to pieces. Like, but that's, you know, that's her profession. That's what she gets paid to do. And I was just having fun writing words on a piece of paper. But in one of those books, I tried to tell this really cool story about going to a Cardinals football game, you know, and you're sitting there in the stands and you're looking around, you're enjoying the oohs and the ahs, and Kyler Murray's out doing his thing and they're running around the field. And
by thing, you mean losing?
Well, I don't know. He played for the first time this weekend, I think.
I think,
right?
This was the second game he played.
Was it the second game?
Yeah.
Whatever. He's getting paid a lot of money to do jack shit. That's what I know.
Yeah.
And then they traded their number two QB to
the Vikings.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Kirk Cousins went down with a busted ACL. That's two, not a busted ACL, Achilles.
Achilles, yep.
Yeah. Same as Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Anyways, so I'm sitting there at the Cardinals game, and there's 22 people on the football field that are getting paid millions and millions of dollars to play a game. But when you look around the stadium, how many people are employed there that never went to college, that aren't making millions of dollars? But if they weren't there, that game doesn't exist. I'm talking about the guys who put together the sound, you know, plugging all the wires into the soundboards, probably the announcer, maybe. Like, you don't have to be, you don't have to go to college to develop a radio voice. Maybe you just had that gifted to you, or you just practiced through doing some Toastmasters classes, or the guys who changed the light bulbs at the top of that stadium on those big fucking cranes. You know, the guys who grow the grass out there that these guys are playing on. And for people who don't know, the State Farm Stadium here in Glendale, Arizona, it's real grass. They wheel that shit outside. The whole field moves outside on tracks. They grow the grass out in the sun. And then on Sundays, they pull it back into the stadium. So the greenskeepers out there, those guys out there working that grass and painting the fields and making everything pretty. The dudes pouring your drinks every Sunday so you can go hoot and holler and throw beer cans at people.
Yeah. I just heard an interview with Jason Kelce, and I guess on his bye week, he went to one of the football games and sat up in the booth with, I think, like Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit for a game or something. And he was talking about how, like, because he's getting close to retirement, and so people are asking him, oh, are you going to go do the announcing gig and everything like that? He was like, dude, I had no idea, because he gets there and he's sitting in the booth. And there's all these people behind that are working things. There's these TV monitors. People are putting stuff up on the TV monitors. You know, there's a producer talking to Al. There's a producer talking to Kurt. He went down after the fact, and he went there. They have like three trucks out there that, like, they have 15 people sitting in each truck that are, you know, cutting the different frames, working the 30 cameras that they have on the field. Yeah. So then you got 30 cameras. And he was like, I could not believe how many people were involved behind the scenes to make those two look like they know what they're talking about for 15 seconds at a time.
Yeah. Well, now those dudes do their homework. I mean, they study all week and they interview the players, and that's not to take away.
No knock against those guys. They're complete professionals on what they do.
And I got a funny story too. So when I was in college the first time, my failed attempt right after high school, there's another shameless plug to not go to college after high school. I majored in all the wrong things. Turns out that when they said go to college, they meant go to class, and I didn't make that connection. Whatever. So anyways, the University of North Alabama, this was in fall of 94, maybe fall of 95-ish, somewhere around there. They were on like a 3 or 4 national championship streak, like undefeated, winning national championships. They were D2 school, and they were badass, dude. So they went to the fucking national championship that year, and I'm laying in bed. It's a Saturday morning. I'm laying in bed, and I get a phone call from one of my buddies who was like the president of the student body or some shit at the college, right? He's one of our fraternity brothers or something. And he calls me up and he says, hey man, you want to make $50 today? Sure. What are we doing? I mean, I'm a college kid. I'll take money. He goes, I just need you to show up at the game, dress for cold weather and wear khakis. I can do this. I'm a college fraternity guy. I got khakis, right?
Yeah.
So I show up down at the football field, which is really just a big ass high school stadium there in Alabama. I show up down there, and I got hired on for a day by ESPN to stand on the 50-yard line. I'm not exaggerating here. I stood on a bench on the 50-yard line right behind the players, and all I did was hold a cable. I stood there for 3.5 hours watching a football game, holding a cable for the little track thingy that was going up and down the film with the down the field with the little with the camera on it. And that guy's job was to line up on the line of scrimmage every play. And then they had, you know, the shit in the sky and whatnot, or the different corners of the stadium. But I stood there. I mean, I can smell the freaking players. I'm that close to them. And so for $50, I got paid $50 to wear khakis and hold a cable and got to watch a national championship football game. Oh, by the way, required no college degree.
Yeah.
My qualifications were show up on time and wear khakis. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this shit can be done, man.
What else you got?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, as we're getting kind of towards the end here, wrapping it up, bring it back to the B1 change one stuff. And I think this all falls down into things that we've talked about already. Is it, you know, like I like to say, it all ties together like a big old knot. Work ethic, put forth the effort, set goals and go after them. You know, break these things down systematically and kill the closest alligator to the boat and keep on moving, man. If it ain't for you, pivot and do something different, dude.
That's right.
Especially if you're a young man, you got time.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a 35-year-old guy in a job that he hates, paying for a mortgage and a college degree that you don't use.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say if you're a young man and you're interested in something, then go figure that out, right? Like, whether it's talking to somebody, getting a mentor around it, or signing up for a class, doing something online, going to a trade school, go explore that, right? If you're curious about something and you think it might be a fit for you, go explore that. Don't worry about the messaging that we get from society about you got to have a degree and all this other stuff, right? If there's something that you're interested in, go try it. And then I would just say, if you're an older man who's in a position, whether that's as a father or have the opportunity to mentor a kid who may be interested in what you do or something along those lines, then support them, right? Yeah. Let them figure that out for themselves. Give them the opportunities that they're looking for and help them explore those things and figure those pieces out for themselves. You'll be better off for it, I promise.
Well, that's where I was. I'm glad you picked that up, because I was going to circle back on the, if you're a parent or a grandparent and you've got all this information, pass it on to the younger generations, guys. You know, sit around, have a cup of coffee in the morning. It's like, I was just at this wedding last weekend, and I really enjoyed sitting and talking with some of the older gentlemen that were there, guys, and maybe the generation right above ours, because they just have such a different perspective. I mean, I sat there and talked to one of Katie's uncles who had prostate cancer a year or two ago, and it completely changed his outlook on life. And he's like, dude, I don't do anything that causes me any anxiety or heartburn anymore. Like, I only want to do positive, happy shit for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And holy crap, man. I mean, just, I'm sorry it took prostate cancer to get us to this point, but I would hope that, you know, as a 47-year-old and maybe teaching this to my kids who are 19 to 27, that we could learn that lesson a lot earlier in life to do shit that makes us happy, man. And don't follow other people's dreams. Follow yours.
Yeah. Follow yours. And if you're a young man too, and you have that pressure being put on you, then I would just hope that you would have the courage and hopefully the family dynamic where you could have that conversation with your parents and just let them know, hey, you know, I know this is what you guys really want for me, but this is the direction that I would like to go, or this is something that I'd really like to attempt, and that you would find support in that.
Yeah, dude, that I hit everything that I wanted to hit, man. You got any parting shots?
The only thing I wanted to just remind the listeners out there, for all the ones, is Roscoe and I are going to be taking a little bit of a break towards the end of the year, just for Christmas and the new year. So we will not be releasing a podcast on the 26th of December or on the 2nd of January. So the last podcast that we'll release will be on, what is that, the 19th of December?
Yeah.
And then we'll be back with a First Name Friday on the 5th of January.
Yeah, man. That's good stuff. And today we broke over 100 followers on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I mean, the shit's growing, man. It's catching on. You know, we're doing some networking. We got some behind the scenes stuff. We're getting the message out, and that's always the goal. You know, it never was. Cass and I started this because we wanted to have fun, but it seems like other people are kind of jumping on board with us, and that makes us feel warm and fuzzy. So thanks, guys. Thanks, listening, or thanks, listeners, and keep sharing it.
Yeah.
I got nothing else, man.
Yeah. And listeners, just keep reaching out too. If you got ideas or things that you want us to talk about on a First Name Friday, send them to us. If you got stories to share based on things that we've talked about or things that you've learned and how you've been able to apply them to your life, send it to us, man. We'd love to hear from you guys and know how the podcast is helping you.
Yeah, we're going to start, hopefully, we can work out the technology to where we can start having guests.
Yep, we're going to start working on guests after the first of the year.
Don't have to stare at my ugly mug anymore. You can at least stare at somebody else's ugly mug.
Well, so I think that would be important, because I think while you and I have a lot of stories to share and perspective to bring, it's always good for people to hear other people's perspectives too, right? You know, and so I know people are probably tired of listening to me talk, so we'll get somebody else on the show to talk for a while.
Well, I, for one, am tired of hearing you talk, so be the one.
I know you are. Be the change.